Lord, I'll tell you the journey that I've been on with this, and I've got to say, this is not my style of preaching. Usually I'll try and put in funny stories, things like that, not just to make you laugh, but so you get the point that I'm on about. But this morning, it's not like that. So if you've came and you want somebody just to say some nice things to you, make you feel a bit better about yourself and about life to get you through, maybe this isn't the morning that's entirely for you. But come back next week. But it's good to see so many people coming along on a Sunday. Yeah, it's not my job to please me or to please you. It's my job to preach the truth. And I don't want just a church full of nice, happy people heading for a lost eternity. Okay? I'd rather just one person got saved. And that is the mandate on a church. And it has been mentioned, this is why I feel as though this is a word for the Lord, because the theme of this morning, before I'm even speaking, is about eternity. Matthew was praying in Daniel's den before about being happy that we're saved, things like that. But this isn't entirely my style of preaching. I'm just going to read a lot. I have no experience or funny stories to tell you about heaven, about hell. I am just going to let the scriptures speak for themselves. And then you've got to disagree or agree with the scriptures. And that makes no bones about it. It says, Ecclesiastes 3:11, eternity, that God has put eternity in the hearts of humanity. That somehow, some way, that we have an inclination that this isn't everything. You go back to all through the ages of humanity, whether it's Christian beliefs or not, there's this general feeling that this isn't everything, that there is an eternity waiting for us after we die. And it's through every culture and through every system of beliefs is this thing, because God has put eternity in our hearts. And I did a simple Google search and just typed the word hell in, and 567 million pages referring to hell. I didn't have time to validate each and every one of them. Typed in the word heaven, 468 million pages written about heaven. Now, maybe there's overlaps there with heaven and hell. As I say, I didn't have time to validate each and every one of them. But eternity, it's glaring for me to see that eternity is set in the hearts of humanity. We have a curiosity about eternal life. It's a question of absolute importance. You should care far you spend eternity. You kind of say, well, I'll think about it some other time. If you value you in your life, you should care about eternity, far you're going to spend it, how you get it. You should be on a journey thinking about this question of eternity, because life is so short, isn't it? It's like a mist. It's here one day, gone the next. We are going to be so much longer dead than we ever will be alive. So we have got to take this stuff seriously about eternity. And this has been on the agenda of my heart for about 5-6 weeks. I was in the prayer room in Utanewai, and it might have been a God idea, it might have been my own idea. I just had this one thought, that one day nothing will be fine. One day nothing will be fine. My usual response when people ask me how's it going? Fine. It's just fine. We live in this thing or earth that we can be fine. Because heaven is an influence on earth, yet it's not fully the full influence. That's why we pray, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's not got the full scope or influence that we would want. Hell, It's a real place. It's got an influence with devils and demons. But it's not the full influence either. Earth is a tension between heaven and hell, with some influence of heaven, some influence of hell. And so we've got this feeling and struggles and happy moments, but we're in an in-between season, and things can be fine. But one day, nothing will be fine. And Rod, I came, we had a track that you made 2 weeks after I was thinking on this. And if you want on a thing to go away to get your people about family, what I speak on, there's the answer right there. So, see, I say electronic stuff. I thought I would try be good and save the trees and go paperless. And then it's went and switched itself off. And then I kind of got nothing more to say to you. Here we go, like magic. Okay. Jerry Lee Lewis, somebody heard of him? He was a musician. Him and Elvis was in a conversation. And Elvis was a gospel singer, and he was born again, but I think I got into his story. But there was in a discussion, and Elvis was telling Jerry Lee Lewis, look, you've got to think about these things. And Jerry Lee Lewis turned to Elvis and says, but Elvis, Jerry Lee Lewis was in an interview for a newspaper. He says, but Elvis wasn't the only one who thought about hell. Lewis nods. I was always worried whether I was going to heaven or hell. He concedes, I still am. I worry about it before I go to bed. It's a very serious situation. I mean, you worry when you breathe your last breath, where are you going to go? This is a question. Where are you going to go? This is real stuff. I lived for 19 years as an atheist. I came from it like it is to believe or think that there's no God. I was an atheist. I used to scoff at the idea that there was a God. But yet, when I felt lost in my life, when you lose people in life, I used to think till we meet again. I used to think that there was a hope that was one day I would spend eternity with them. Yet I was an atheist that would say, I don't believe in any of that. And I remember when I was at my lowest, and it was, I guess, the first time. I'm not going to go into my story. Many of you will ken it. The first time I thought that hell was a real place, because my perception of hell was a place that bad people went, they did bad things, was full of bad things to do, and so I would get on okay there. And then I started to think that hell was a real place, and it wasn't it. Some dope smoke and devil. It was just darkness and lostness. And it really shook me up. And I guess it was a God moment in my life before I was saved with waking up. You need to consider. You've got to remember I was at a point in my life that I'd lost everything. And the people lost everything and lost trust and lost money and lost everything that you would say is a satisfying life. You start thinking this, is this really worth it? Then questions come into yourself, I'm better off if I just didn't exist. And when I was at that lowest point, I started to think, hold on a minute. If I was to go and do something radically silly, then fate is waiting for me on the other side. And so I guess my journey with yes has been longer than how long I've been saved. The purpose of this morning, the Apostle Paul says, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. We need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation. The purpose as well is if you're not saved, and you didn't question these things, you need to start questioning them. You need to be real. You ought to yourself ask yourself these questions, and as well as that purpose, the other purpose is for us as a church to waken up, if we are saved, hallelujah. But we owe it to the world to get full of Jesus and to tell them. We owe it to them. we didn't want to leave them in ignorance. And so there's a few things this morning why I'm saying what I'm saying. In Pentecostalism, or Pentecostal church, it's easy to try and get people to become Christians because Christ will make their lives better and worship music so good. But there is a underlying, more serious ministry and message for the church, and it is this: it's the salvation of souls. One day, no matter how far you go, nothing will be fine. There will be a separation. 2 Thessalonians 1 says this: when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction. I'm not flowering over these stuff. I'm just going to let Scripture testify God's words. Away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who believe, because our testimony to you was believed. It says there's going to be a separation. All humanity will be divided, either to everlasting life or to everlasting destruction. There is no escaping. It will happen, and the only way to salvation is faith in Jesus Christ. Acts 15:11, for by grace you will be saved through faith. And this is not of your doing, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. We are God's workmanship. Acts 15, we believe that we will be saved through grace of the Lord Jesus. But this is a description of hell. Hell as it is written. Isaiah 66:22-24. And they shall go out and look for the dead bodies of they that have rebelled against me. Their worm shall not die. Their fire shall not be quenched. This is real stuff. Daniel 12:1-2. But at that time that God's people will be delivered. That is, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book that we've already mentioned. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting contempt. There are no second chances. I was brought up in the generation of computer games that used to play Sonic the Hedgehog and other games, and if you died, guess what? You could start again. You could try and get some new lives, and you would just continue. Listen, there is no second chances. The words are everlasting. Everlasting life or everlasting contempt. Didn't I be fooled into thinking, if I go to hell, I'll get another chance to accept Jesus. God will be so good and so gracious, he'll rescue me. The Bible, there is no indication that that will happen. Zero indication. It is everlasting life or everlasting destruction. There is no simply us learning lessons. Oh, I've learned my lesson. There is no reincarnation. There's no another chance. The life that you have just now at this moment, at this time, is the only time span you have to receive Jesus as the Son of God. Mark 9, Jesus speaking about hell. It is better for you to enter eternal life crippled than that two hands and a full body go to hell with unquenchable fire. And he quotes, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Nothing will be fine in hell. No one will be saying it's fine. As I say, I had the idea of hell was just full of bad things to do with bad people. And I thought I'd get on fine with the devil if I was in. But that is not the biblical picture of hell. That is not reality. Jesus speaks in Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 16, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. When Jesus spoke in parables, he never usually names people. And so he names people, he gives, Lazarus has got a name here. It gives you an idea that this actually might have happened. When Jesus spoke in parables, like the parable of the lost son, the lost sheep, and managers and things like that, when he was telling a story about people, he gave him names. Just listen to this. This is the words of Jesus. There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen and who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's tables, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went to the place of the dead. There, in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames." But Abraham said to him, "Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there's a great separation between us. I can't come over there and you can't come over here. No one can cross over to you from here and no one can cross over to us from there." Then the rich man says, "Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home. I have five brothers and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in the place of torment." This is a rich man saying, "Please send somebody in my family. I don't want them to end up here." Abraham says, "Moses and the prophets, they've warned you and they've warned them. Your brothers can read if it is written." The rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham, if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God." Abraham says, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone rises from the dead." And Jesus rose from the dead. We start to listen to him. Just gives a picture of what it is like. This rich man saying, "Please send somebody to tell people that I love." And Abraham for heaven saying, "No, they've got the book. Jesus got a raise for the dead. They'll hear God's word. They'll hear the reality of Jesus. They just need to listen if it's already been said." Matthew 13 describes as a fiery furnace weeping and gnashing of teeth. I am not saying these things to scare you. I'm simply telling you what the Bible says. It says in Mark 9, "Their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." It's a place where every ounce of grace is but a memory. The common grace that we share on earth to laugh, to hear life, to breathe easily, to dream, to love, to forgive. Things that we are share on earth, whether you believe in Jesus or not, this is a common grace. To work, to enjoy life to a certain degree, to carve out careers, to enjoy the company of loved ones, to seek after joyous occasions, to make memories, to help, to love, to be charitable, to dream, to lay down and get a peaceful night's sleep, to share lives with people, to know God. It's all gone. Every ounce of happiness, joy, peace, laughter will be gone. No one will ease the suffering. It will all be a memory. The worst trial you went through on earth would surely seem like a walk in the park. Some commentators and studying this feel as they thought the worm that is mentioned that will never die simply refers to the constantness of the suffering, as worms constantly devour corpses. Others think it's metaphorically speaking of the mind that will never be at rest. No second chances. Eternity is eternity. Whereas every second spent this side of eternity is a time to accept Jesus as Savior. Every moment or every breath that you take is an opportunity to get right with Jesus. That is a grace that will not be afforded or offered in the place of darkness. No light. Just think of it, folks. No light. Jesus spoke of it being outer darkness, a worm that never dies, a fire that never goes out, weeping and wailing for everyone that has rejected Jesus, a place of torment, and it's real. And no place in the Bible does it say they'll be okay, really, and he will save you in the end. Only why. As I said, some people say that the God of love wouldn't send you there. But this God of love sent his Son so that you wouldn't have to go there and believe in him. You would not perish but have eternal life with him. All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Son of Man, for I came to save sinners, and confess it with your mouth. If you dinna, I'll be very clear, there is an eternity for you to think about your excuses. Luke chapter 8, 31. Jesus is casting out a demon, and the demon spoke to Jesus and wanted to go into the pigs rather than the bottomless pit. You can read it. The demon says, please, let's send us into the bottomless pit. Send us somewhere else. You've got to think, guess, how bad must it be if the demons simply didn't want to go there? We've got to get completely out of our minds. It'll be okay, really. You'd think that demons are bad and hell's bad, that demons would want to hang around there. But if they simply didn't want to go to the bottomless pit, what picture does that give you? What must be like a forever place of terror? There is no place on earth that would compare even with the war-torn countries we have today. Nothing will be fine. You will never meet one person there that will say, I'm fine. I wish this was not true. With every ounce and fiber of my body. But yet it's true. I don't want there to be hell. I don't want there to be a place of torment. It's so dark to think of this place. But I am near here to tell you what I think and what I want. I'm here simply to preach the gospel and fit the word of God says. That is the truth. I think we should pray for the lost more than we do. I'm going to set a challenge for you. I have described this place to you, and people are going there. Would we commit to praying on a daily basis? I had this idea, and I've did it for the last couple of days. Bar's got a phone with an alarm on it. Anybody? Get your phone out with your alarm. I'm going to ask you to do something. Because if I didn't remind, or somebody doesn't remind me to pray for things, I get caught up with life. But God has given us phones, we think. We timers. Some of you might be a morning person, some of you are evening persons. If I likes to get up in the morning, if I would be up at 7 o'clock in the morning, no hassle. Okay. If I would be more inclined to spide up late, there'd be a 7 o'clock at a night person. Or a late person. Okay. So you will either be up at 7 or be up at 9. Yes, 7 in the morning. You would either be up at 7 in the morning or be up at 7 at night on a daily basis. Nobody will still be in their beds at 7 in the morning and go to their beds before 7 at night. If you do, you're lazy. I'm going to do this. I've done it as well. Go to your timer on your phone that sets your alarm. And if you're a morning person, go to 7 o'clock in the morning. If you're an evening person, 7 o'clock at night. And I want you to set your alarm that you will pray for 7 minutes for souls to be saved. Just put a header on it, salvation. I think we owe it to people to pray for 7 minutes a day for the lost to be saved. I want people to go out. 7 minutes is not much to ask for, really. And if you struggle with 7 minutes, just get some sort of format. Pray for the people you can. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your family. Pray for your neighbors. And if that goes quickly, pray for churches. Pray for the community. Pray for the nation. Just pray for souls. 7 minutes. And I'll do it. And you'll do it. And God might use me to bring salvation to people. He might use somebody else, but he will answer the prayers of our heart. We owe it to people that are lost to pray for 7 minutes. And if it's 7 o'clock, your handsome family time, get your whole family to pray for 7 minutes. Didn't I make excuses? Didn't I say I was busy? We're not that busy. 7 minutes on social media, and I'm an offender. It goes past really quick, doesn't it? And amongst that, every minute or day, 7 minutes is not much to ask for. So I'm going to do it. I'm not a morning person. As soon as I get up, I'm lucky if I get 5 minutes until chaos starts. But 7 o'clock's probably my time. So I'm going to go for 7 o'clock. And, okay, this is one off again. I'll give you just a few minutes just to put in your phones. There we go. So we're going to do it, aren't we? And hopefully I'm still doing it till the day I die. If you get in a good habit, I could say we'll just do it for a week. You get in a habit of doing this every day, it's only the way you do it. I can't ask you to do it once a week because habits are formed on daily basis. So you might think, well, that's a bit harsh. It's not harsh in the context of it. I've just said, nothing will be fine. What about heaven? Heaven, as it is written, as the Bible says. John 14. This is the words of Jesus. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? If I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Acts chapter 4, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We go there by believing in Jesus, and he's got to come back and take us to where he is that at. Colossians 3, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, for Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, as infamous became Christians. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Philippians 3, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. When Jesus comes back, we will be like him. Our bodies, this body of decay, this body that has got sicknesses, that has got trials and troubles and a sinful nature, that we are can rebel against God, this mind that is hostile towards this holy God. It says we will be made new. New bodies like Christ's, a spiritual body. I'm pretty sure that means then we will be incapable of catching sickness and disease. Through our sinful nature or tendencies, this Christ-like body will be effortlessly pure and holy and will not have a corrupt, scheming mind. I'm reasonably well. You look at me, I must be reasonably well. When I phone for my repeat prescriptions, it's like reading a menu. Asthma and psoriasis and creams and lotions and potions and preventatives and feel like saying, Ken, fit pharmacy, do you want it picked up? I'll just, I'll send a lorry. I'll just go pick up all these things. And you think, yeah, reasonably well. But even the reasonably well people, you're probably taking something to get you through, or some ailments, or you catch colds and you get flus and you take vitamins and you're fighting and you're fighting and you're thinking, I just want to be well every day. We will be one day. That's body. I'm there taking this asthma-ridden body, Weema. Hallelujah. I'm going to be completely changed. I can't know how I'm going to look. Better, I would say. But if we're going to be like him, think of Jesus. He's not tempted by sin in heaven. He's not getting sick or going to the doctors. I'm going to be like him. And that makes me happy. Isaiah 25, he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears of your faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken, in that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. What a change. The hand of the Lord will rest upon this mountain, but Moab will be trampled in their land as straw is trampled in the manure. They will stretch out their hands in it, the swimmers stretch out their hands to swim. God will bring down their pride despite the cleverness of their hands. He will bring down your high fortified walls and lay them low. He will bring them down to the ground, to the very dust. He will wipe away every tear. Every bit of shame and regret and sadness will go. Hallelujah! All the trials and temptations will be shown to have been temporary. None of it will follow you. Ezekiel 28, no longer will the people of Israel have malicious neighbors who are painful briars and sharp thorns. Then they will know that I am the sovereign Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. When I gather the people of Israel from all the nations where they have been scattered, I will be proved holy through them in the sight of the nations. This is going to be for the world to see. They will live in their own land, which I gave to my servant Jacob. They're going to live in safety and will build houses and plant vineyards. They will live in safety. Then they will know that I am the Lord, their God. A lot of the pictures of heaven is given in Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. They sang a new song. It's a theme this morning, even during worship. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, speaking of Jesus. This is us speaking to Jesus. You were slain. By your blood, you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. We're going to be gathered together to go to God, the whole family of God, for every tribe and nation. You have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. They shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads. That sounds pretty good. That's a good word, isn't it? We've changed it to multitudes. I like myriad. It's almost like speaking in tongues, myriad to myriad. And thousands of angels. Wow! Living creatures, us, one God, one nation, saying reverently in a quiet voice in a corner. No. Saying, get this picture in your head, multitudes of angels, us, new bodies. And it says, every ounce of creation will say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, wisdom, and might, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And then John, the Apostle John says, and then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the sea and in the sea and all that is in them. This is like hell of creation. Everything that is in them said, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. You think our worship band is heavenly, and we are blessed with a dynamic, spirit-filled, Jesus-loving worship band. Just wait till you get there. New songs in the fullness of his presence. We will join with the multitudes, the countless angels. There'll be life, there'll be joy, living creatures that we've never even seen before. It's going to be worshiping Jesus before his throne. We will see Jesus as we worship him. When we worship here, I really want to see Jesus. Do you know? When in times of worship, and we know him through the Spirit, we're not yet there. We see in part, but one day we'll see in full. I try and think of what Jesus will look like. It's got to be so different when I see him. I want to worship him better on earth, but I'm feeble. Sometimes I'm thinking about other things and my mind gets distracted. There'll be no such distractions in heaven. There's loud voices. People think reverent churches are quiet churches. And they think quietness is reverence. I think there's complete reverence in heaven, but it sounds pretty noisy to me. Living creatures, angels singing loudly, worshiping loudly. Every creature, not just one person, worshiping together. Okay, I'm aware that time is gone, but I've got to. Is it okay if we just spend a bit more time? Revelations 21. He will wipe away every tear from your eyes. I've never shed a tear before in sadness. There'll be no more death. This is not my words. This is the word of God. No more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and they're true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the springs of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this. I will be their God and they will be my children. No death. Thank you, Jesus. No funerals, no cemeteries, no grieving mothers or daughters or husbands. No decay or depression. No heartache or hard times, just life. Everlasting life, just a dwelling place that everything is wonderful and alive, untainted by the sin of this world. You see heartbreaking pictures on the news of kids crying during war. There will be none of that. No crying or pain or persecution. No murder. No wars or bombs, no border controls or guns, no orphans or hospitals or Red Cross missions, no emergency relief aid, no famines or corrupt, greedy, power-hungry governments that treat the nations as slaves to their own agenda. No more fighting our oil or lands, energy supplies. It's all gone. No more crimes or criminals. No more prescribed drugs, illegal drugs, bad habits, drug habits. No more rehabs. I'm hoping that there's no more dentists. Amen. A lot of us have got beauty a job. Dentists, doctors, nurses. No need for pastors. No denominations or divisions, no pain, no problems, no fear of failure. Everything made new. Nothing. Nothing's fine. just extraordinary. Revelation 22, no longer any curse, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city. His servants will serve him. They will see his face. His name will be on their foreheads. No more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever. No curse. No weeds, thorns that came through the curse. Nay the curse of poverty, nay the haves and the have-nots. Nay working like a slave just to earn a pound. We'll simply serve him. We'll be in perfect unity with ourselves, each other, and God. Peace will not be something to be worked on or strive towards. Peace will be the natural atmosphere of heaven. There will be joy. It will be easy. We will see his face. No more night, which means no more nightclubs and dark alleyways. No more prowlers of the night, demons of the night. No more nightmares or nightlights. It will all be gone. No need for electricity, switches. No sunlight or shadows. The Lord will be your light. He will light up our lives. All the negative feelings we have here as Christians, and I share these negative thoughts with you, as Christians, we're not loving Jesus enough, not praying or fasting enough, not being as committed or as dedicated as we want to be. All that will be gone. No longer striving just to feel Jesus or sense him in the Spirit. We shall see him face to face. Heaven awaits. We will see him face to face. Christ. Heaven without Christ would be no heaven for us. If heaven was only Christ, then surely that would be enough. Seeing Jesus would be everything. Lastly, the last scriptures, John and the angel, this is the end of Revelation. The angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophet, sent his angel to show his servant the things that must soon take place. Look, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. These words that I've read to you are trustworthy and true. Whether you believe them or nay, one day nothing will be fine, either unspeakably bad or unspeakably brilliant. How do we get there? It's as simple as believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, confessing it with our mouth, justification through faith. You owe it to yourself to consider it. If you refuse, you might hear an eternity, you will hear an eternity to regret it. If you intend to reject Jesus, that is your choice, given to you by God, the choice to receive or to reject. You should go on and soak up the pleasures of this world, enjoy your fineness. Go on as much holidays and enjoy as much pleasures of this world that it's got to offer. Because this world is as good as it's going to get for you. If you put your trust in Jesus, consider this. Go through each trial with the joy that Jesus would give you. Because this world is the worst that it's ever going to be for you. It's just going to get better. If you reject Jesus, by all means, soak up the pleasures of the world. It's just as good as it's going to get. This feeling of being fine. If you believe, you mightn't even understand fully. You'll hear an eternity to delight in him. This is the close. I have gave you the gospel, not according to me, according to the word of God. I'm going to give you an opportunity, as I have read what the word of God says, for you to put your trust in Jesus. And then I'm just going to ask for Christians that we would receive power from on high, that we would be effective in spreading the gospel of Jesus. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to mark this as easy as possible. We are all capable of making decisions. Maybe in here this morning you have never made a decision for Jesus. I have told you fit as I wait, and I am not trying to guilt trip you into becoming a Christian. I have just laid out for eternity awaits. And one day you will breathe your last. And the decision and the grace that God has given us during this life to choose him, that will be gone. I'm going to ask if you want to put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ today, and ask that you would raise your hand. I'll see it. You paid doing. I will include you in a prayer. This might be the last sermon that you will ever hear. This might be the last time you will hear a preacher speak these words. I'm not privy to the information on how long I will live, but I can make a decision on far I will spend eternity. So if you are here this morning and you want to be included in a prayer of salvation, put up your hand, I'll see it. Then just put it down. If I see your hand, I'll say okay. Then I'll just get everybody to repeat the prayer. I'm not going to prolong this. I'll give you about 30 seconds just for God to work in your heart. If you're not saved, then consider if it's been said. Okay, for the Christian, we need God's help to take this message to the street. We need God's help. I must confess again that I'm feeble and weak in displaying this Jesus to a lost world. But there's an amazing thing that God empowers his people to go out. It says the Spirit of God will come upon you and then you'll be a witness of the love of Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to ask, if you are a Christian in here and you just want God's help in sharing this message, just stand to your feet, and this is how we're going to close. I'm just going to include us in a prayer. If you're a Christian in here and you've just heard these words and it's hurt you, you can something, that is the deal. That is it. That is church is not about filling buildings. It's about getting lost people saved. And I believe that if we come with an attitude before God that's saying, we need your help in us, Jesus. Your promise is that you will empower us to go and be witnesses. That God will answer the prayers of our hearts and he would fill us and we'd see salvation. Jesus, God, you see our hearts and we have laid before us the truth of eternity. God, time is short, no matter for why we look at it. And I ask for us as believers that we would receive the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit, we'll receive it through grace. Lord, that supernatural empowerment, nay that you would take us hour, but we would cooperate with your words and your power. And God, we pray for an outpouring of signs and wonders and miracles, for healings, for deliverances, for raisings of the dead. But every sign would point to Jesus as Savior. That it wouldn't just fill churches or sick people made whole. But we'd see churches filled or lost people finding their salvation in Jesus Christ. And God, I pray right now is that you are here, Jesus, that you would send the Holy Spirit and power, that you would shock us to the core. And God, there'd be fruit bringing salvation to this world. And oh God, how we owe it to the world to share your message. how we owe it to our family, we owe it to our neighbors, we owe it to our workmates to share this message of salvation. One day nothing will be fine. I pray that we would bring with us for this fellowship, we would bring with us redeemed souls that would be grateful that we shared the love of Jesus with them. And I thank you, God, that you will bring us and you will empower us to see our friends, our family receive salvation. Deit, there's only you know how to do it. Empower believers for that great and wonderful day when you come back and everything will be finished. God, we look forward to people joining us for eternity before the throne room of Jesus Christ. We had myriads and myriads of angels singing your song. God, I thank you for everybody that's came here and listened. I pray that they'd feel refreshed. I pray they'd feel empowered. I pray they'd feel loved. I pray they'd feel sure of their salvation. I pray they would know that for them they've decided on Jesus, that their names are written eternally in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we'd walk with assurance and being capable and able of sharing your hope with this world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being so good listeners. That's the end of the service. God bless you, and I pray that we do see God's kingdom come on earth as is in heaven in terms of salvation hitting this church and the different churches and in our streets. God bless you. There is a Filipino service at 2 o'clock here, and then 5 o'clock, for we will be again teaching on how to pray. Enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of your week. God bless you.